Frogs on a mission. Frogs on a mission. How many of you are Far Side? Anybody remember Far Side cartoons? I love Far Side. My wife says I got Far Side humor. Well, you probably can't read this, but it's a group of frogs with coonskin caps and shovels. They're in the desert and says, "We'll put the swamp here." Now that's faith. I call that frogs on a mission. They are determined to do something basically impossible. I want to talk to you about mission. I will be talking about missions, but I want to talk to you about mission. Your mission. You see, sometimes when we hear the word mission or missions, we envision that impossible situation like building a swamp in the middle of the desert. We see mission as something that's bizarre or almost impossible, except for the most holy, courageous, called people. The rest of us, we're just ordinary. We just kind of rock along and hang on to Jesus. I want to challenge that concept. I want to challenge that mentality today because I don't think it's biblical. I think God's got something more for everybody sitting here and everybody that's joined us online today. I want to share the truth of God's Word because I believe this. I believe the Word bears this out. Every person hearing me today was created and called to a specific purpose in your life. And I want to build that case this morning. Here's another way to say it. To be a follower of Christ is to own His mission. You hear me? To be a follower of Christ is to own His mission personally. Oh, I know, His mission was to die for our sins. You can't die for your sins. But He gave us a mission. We'll talk about that. We've done the Beatitudes. Almost every sermon I've preached, except for Father's Day over the last 2-3 months, has been on Beatitudes. The next few verses are these. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. Look at somebody beside you and say, "You are the salt of the earth." Okay, you. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by people. You are the light of the world. Look at that person again. You are the light of the world. You say, whoa, time out. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus was the light of the world. Is it Jesus or us? And my answer is yes. Okay? You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Your light must shine. In some versions it says, "Let your light shine." In other words, this is a command. This is an expectation. This is an intention of the one that we follow as believers in Christ. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. You know, a lot of times when we think of the word mission, we either think, as believers, we think of overseas ministry, or maybe we think of military maneuvers. Or we think of the movies, Mission Impossible. Dun, 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 dun. I think maybe that's from my generation. I know there's been new movies and all, but that, hey, that's still in my mind. You know, the little flute or whatever. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. People my age, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Mission Impossible. But for some of us, the word mission brings up those images. But I'm here to try to appeal to your heart and let you understand clearly today that missions is playing our part in the mission of the one we follow. Mission or missions is us, each of us, playing our part in the mission of the one we follow. We call that the Great Commission. Remember, many of you know this by heart. It's in Matthew 28, and it goes like this. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Our mission, our slice of that mission will often include stretching past our comfort zone and our culture. And sometimes our slice of the mission includes going overseas. But either way, we own a slice of this mission. If you are a believer in Christ, He's talking to you in Matthew 5, and He's talking to you and me in Matthew 28. I own a slice of His mission. There is a function for me as a believer in Christ. It has my name on it. You say, but I'm not a preacher, Pastor Gary. I'm not like you. I'm a whatever. I'm a mechanic. I'm a lawyer. I'm a doctor. I'm a school teacher. Whatever. I'm telling you, if you're a follower, you own a piece of the mission. It's got your name on it. And you will be called to account for it one day. You say, but I'm not a speaker. You own a slice of the mission. I'm not a singer. You own the slice of the mission. I'm not a missionary. You own a slice of the mission. For many of us, the issue is, what is my slice? One thing we know is this. Salt has to get out of the salt shaker to flavor anything. And light cannot be hidden in a corner. And I'm telling you, situations in our country today are trying to shove our light under a basket. And Cheryl said it earlier today, we cannot allow that to happen. But salt has to get out of the salt shaker to flavor anything. And sometimes that means going outside our culture and going outside our country. But it always involves sharing and showing Jesus. You say, well, I'm timid. So am I. Get in line. I'm timid. You say, you're not timid. You're standing up there talking to all these people. You can't be timid. Yes, I can. When I was 16 years old, actually when I was 15, I was on my knees praying in my bedroom one night. I grew up in church. Most of you know my story, but some of you have got a lot of new faces. You may not. I was brought up in church, loved Jesus, spent a lot of my Saturdays doing stuff at or for the church. My family was that family that if the grass wasn't cut, we cut it. If the building wasn't clean, we cleaned it. I was in the choir. I was in the youth ministry. I probably was at some women's meetings as a kid. I don't know, but you name it, I was doing it. But I was timid. But I was on my knees one night and I was praying, and I was praying a prayer like this. If there is anything that is between me and you, Lord, that I have not given over to your lordship, if there's anything like that in my life, show it to me and I'll deal with it. My idol was shown to me. That was football. I love football and I had aspirations. I wanted to play college football. As I look back now, I realized I didn't have the body nor the talent. But it was still an idol. And the Lord was dealing with my heart. And a war started in my heart. And this war went on. This was in March or April before spring practice and before the end of my sophomore year. But from there all the way to the beginning of summer practice, I had a war going on inside my head and my heart. Because I felt like God was saying to me, let it go. I've got other plans for you. I didn't understand it. I didn't agree with it. I tried to argue myself out of it. I argued with God in my mind for 5 or 6 months, 5 months at least. I was miserable. I couldn't hardly pray. Every time I tried to pray, there it was. And finally, I said, God, I can't live like this, and I ain't going to let go of you. So I guess I'm going to have to let go of football. I went and had a talk with my coach. And I was in a small school. They needed every warm body they could put a jersey on. It wasn't like I was just one among 100. I think we dressed out 25 people that year, okay? If you could breathe and keep your helmet on, they needed you. I told my coach, I just feel like this is what God wants me to do. He just shook his head like, what planet are you from? And this didn't happen but once, but that same coach asked me to go to lunch with him. And he sat across the table from me and looked me in the eye and said, can you explain to me why any young man like you would give up sports for religion? And I tried my best to explain it. Well, the story goes like this. I was still miserable, and they're in full-fledged summer practice getting ready for school to start, and I'm still miserable. And I looked up to heaven and I said, God, if I'm going to be miserable anyway, I'm going to play football. And I went back and begged him to let me back on the team, and he did. But it was never an idol to me anymore. And when school started, I had people. Now, it's a small school. Everybody knew my name. It was 300 people from 9th through 12th grade. Everybody knew everybody's name in this school. But I had people walking up to me, and I realized something. Even though I was a real believer, even though I loved Jesus with all my heart enough to give up my idol, even though that was true, almost nobody knew I was a Christian in those 300 people. I had been a light under a bushel. I had been salt locked up in the salt shaker. The good news is I never idolized football anymore and continued to play. And two or three of my teammates ended up getting saved eventually because of that testimony, and that coach ended up giving his heart to Jesus. Okay? And he just died just a few months ago. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, having a slice of this mission has nothing to do with your personality type. It has nothing to do with whether you are called to full-time vocational ministry or not. God has a slice of the mission that matches the way He created you. God has a slice of the mission for the skills and talents and passions you have. And He ended up using my passion for football to win some people into the kingdom of God. But it wasn't my call. That wasn't the only slice for me. Three things. Number one, we're all designed for mission. We're all designed for mission. Scripture says you are the salt. You are the light. God created you for a purpose. He created you with passions and interests and desires that He wants to use for a bigger purpose than just your pleasure or your financial security. Woven into your DNA is what you need to fulfill that slice of the mission according to His purpose for your life. This is your mission. Should you accept it? The key is, what's my slice? Mission is something that we are, not just something we do. We have to ask ourselves this question. And we were having a meeting yesterday, and this question came up, and I thought it was so important. Ask yourself, what am I good at? What am I passionate about? Where are my skills at? what comes easy to me, and there's a good possibility that your slice of the mission is connected to that somehow. And then there's times God calls you beyond your passions, beyond your skills, and beyond your personality like He did me. I do not have the luxury of being timid anymore, even though it's my natural tendency, okay? William Barclay said this. He's a great Bible scholar 100 plus years ago. He said, there are two great days in each of our lives. The day we were born, like this one was born. That was a great day when that child was born. And the day we discovered why. Let me ask you a question. How many of you think you were an accident? Here's a little more of my story. Many of you know this already. The folks been here a while, you've heard me say this many times. My dad left my mother when I was 6 months old. You know what that means? She knew her marriage was about to end when I was conceived. I very well might have been, on the purposes of men, an accident. But not to God. Not to God. He knew I was coming. And He designed me for my slice of the mission. He designed me with a purpose. And several years ago, I wrote out some statements of faith that I believe about my life. And one of those things is that God has created me for an eternal purpose and mission which He will fulfill through me. And I believe that about every one of you. We're prepared for good works. Psalm 139, many of you know this. You could just about quote this. For you created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I'm awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my formless substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them. What does that tell me? God designed me.
Amen.
God designed me. You say, well, I don't like the way He designed me. I wish I had a smaller nose, or I wish I didn't go bald. And that, I mean, there's some things, if I had, you know, my druthers, I would talk to God about why didn't you do this or do that. But I'm telling you, there comes a point for every believer where you have to embrace this truth. God designed me. And He designed me with a purpose. And that purpose is for a mission, a slice of His mission. Not only did He prepare us for a purpose and good works, He prepared good works for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. What does this mean? It means God designed me on purpose, and He designed me on purpose to do certain things in this life that would bring glory to His Son and would fulfill me. I did not want to be a preacher. I mean, I love Jesus, but I did not want to be a preacher. I didn't like preachers. I didn't like the image of preachers. I don't know what it was. I just thought that would be a boring life. And let me tell you, it's anything but boring. And being timid, I thought, there's no way I can be a preacher. I can never get up in front of people. God knew. There's things inside of some of you hadn't discovered yet that are part of your puzzle and your purpose, that will bring glory to the Son of God and touch the hearts of other people. And you will be more fulfilled doing that. I'm more fulfilled being a pastor than I ever would have been as a professional athlete. because that would have been a short, ugly career. You know, there's this saying, it was going around for a while. I got skills. I got skills. Everybody say it. I got skills. You say, but I can't do this. I can't do it. Quit looking at what you can't do. I got skills. Say it again. I got skills. And God wants to use my skills. He wants to use my influence. He wants to use my circumstance. He wants to use my network of relationships. He wants to use me for a purpose that will last forever. We are designed and called, every one of us, to make disciples and make a difference. You may do that as a lawyer, a doctor, a mechanic, a teacher, like I said earlier. You may do that as a graphic designer or a computer programmer. You may do that as a housewife. But God has ordained and designed you and me, all of us, to make disciples and make a difference. What does make disciples mean? It means help someone get closer to Jesus, to become more like Christ. First to receive Christ and then to grow in their following of Him. Every believer, this is not professionals only, every believer. Second big thing is, we're called to mission. We're not just designed for a mission. We're called to mission. It says, let your light shine, or your light must shine. This is an imperative. What this means to me is our mission requires something of us. We don't just exist and say, bring it to me. I'll just glow. That's not the deal here. It requires something of us. The fact that we're called to a purpose, that we have a slice, that it matches our design, that means there's responsibility. A response is required to our call. It's not just pastors and missionaries that are called of God. You may be called to be a business entrepreneur, but you are called to use it as a platform to spread the light of Jesus. You may be called to be a school teacher, but you are called, if that's your calling, God called you to be the best school teacher you can be, and in the process, influence and shine a light in the dark place and make disciples. So we're called, and that requires something. First thing it requires is a response of surrender. I'm not my own, and my lifestyle should be wrapped around His mission. And I'm going to say this. I'm not going to beat this to death, but I'm going to say it. I want you to hear it. Having my slice of the mission means that I wrap my life around the mission. I don't just wrap the mission around my life. There's a big difference. Sometimes we just fit in a little mission to otherwise a lifestyle and a life direction and a life investment that is just Jesus is just a fraction of it and is not the primary concern. I'm telling you, regardless of what vocation you have or what skills you've got, for a real follower of Jesus, the mission is the core, and how He wants us to make a living and the platform He wants us to use is wrapped around the mission, not vice versa. God may have called you to be a lawyer. He may have called you to be a politician. But you don't wrap the mission around your politics. You wrap politics around your mission. Don't push back now. Hear my heart. Jesus said this the day He appeared to them after His resurrection, John 20:21. So Jesus appeared in the room with them, and they were scared spitless. And of necessity, He says first, peace be to you. You're not going to be incinerated here on the spot. But then he goes on and says, just as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So one of the ways we must respond to our call to mission is a response of surrender. Wrap our lives around his mission and not vice versa. The second thing is we have to respond by risking something, risking failure, risk rejection, risk sacrifice. We talked about the possibility of sacrifice and risk last week. But can I tell you, if God's called you to be a Sunday school teacher, it may not just click the first time you try it. You might have to persevere a little bit and learn and grow. We got Jameson here. And by the way, she was talking about great things happening all the time and what God does. First of all, one of our own folks that was struggling with COVID and was expected, hopefully, to make it. It was going to be 10 days before she got out of the hospital. She was in there about 5 or 6, and I don't know if she got to go home. Can somebody tell me? She went home yesterday? No, she didn't. But the doctors, talking about amazed and astounded, what'd you say? She's still in there. But from what I hear, the doctors were amazed at the progress she's made in just 4 or 5 days. Not only that, Jameson was in Washington, D.C. this week. He's trying to get his approval to go to Austria as a missionary. And God is showing him favor, and it looks like it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Keep praying. I'm just saying this. Whatever your slice of the mission is, it may not just fall into place without any effort or perseverance or prayer. Yeah, he's saying, because he's been praying for several years now. And COVID interrupted his plans. So I'm just saying, when you say, I choose to embrace my slice of the mission, it may not just happen easily and automatically. There may be some effort on your part. There may be a learning curve. And I promise you, if you're really going for it, there's going to be a learning curve. I'm still learning. I know I look too old to learn, but I'm still learning. Another response to the call, another response required is faith. Faith for results. We plant seeds, we shine the light, we pray, we engage, we water it with tears, but the results are up to the Holy Spirit, right? The results are up to the Holy Spirit. One more thing, it requires a focus. We have to focus our lives. We have to look at the big picture, the eternal picture. We have to ask ourselves questions like this. How will this affect anybody for eternity? Is this a good investment of my time, my talent, my treasure, my influence, my energy? Focus. If we just say, I'm on mission, but we don't have a focus, I'm going to challenge you this morning to answer this question: what is my personal mission in life? And what is the focus of my slice of Jesus' commission? What's my slice? Is it to reach my neighbors in my neighborhood? Is it to reach all the people at my job? Is it to reach the people at school? What is the focus of my slice of the mission? So, it's just my family. I beg to differ with you. Our families are our first responsibility in reaching them and discipling them. But it does not stop there for anybody. We are called to the world, Jerusalem, Judea, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen? And so we all have a slice of the mission that reaches beyond us and ours. All of us do. I think about Esther. Most of you know the story of Esther. Esther was just one of the slaves of Israel in the land of Babylon and then Persia. By this time, Persia had conquered Babylon and inherited all the Hebrew slaves. the king decided he needed a new queen, and he went on they had a beauty contest all over the country, and Esther became the queen miraculously. Nobody knew she was a Jew, but she became the queen of the whole stinking country. But there were some people that hated the Jews, and the devil doesn't have any new tricks. Do you know that? He rehearses the same old tricks, and genocide is one of his tools up his sleeve. And the wicked Haman wanted to kill all the Jews, didn't know that the queen was one of them. And God set this whole thing up. But there was a moment in time when Mordecai, Esther's uncle, sent word to her, and he said, "Listen, you need to go into the king and plead for the cause of our people." And she said, "It might get me killed." I'm just summarizing. This is Gary's version. "It might get me killed." And he said, "Let me tell you something, girl." This is Gary's version. "Who knows but that you were born for just such a time as this, for this crisis. And if you don't stand up in this moment, God will raise up salvation for our people from somewhere. But don't you think you're going to be shielded just because you're in the king's palace." And her famous response was, "Pray and fast with me. I'm going to go to the king, and if I die, I die." Few of us will ever be an Esther. Few of us will ever be in a position to be an Esther. But a lot of the same principles come to bear on our slice of the mission. Will we stand up and say, "I own part of this thing. I'm responsible for part of this thing. I was designed for a slice of this mission of my Savior. I was called, and I must respond with sacrifice and surrender and focus and faith and dare believe God can use even me somehow for such a time as this." I don't know if you know this or not, but the evangelical church in America is crumbling quickly. Numbers are plummeting over the last 10 to 15 years. You know, the people that are part of evangelical churches, and really church in general in America, has plummeted like 20%. The church in America is shrinking as we sit here this morning. And most experts that are observers of this and studiers of this whole dynamic say this: the church of Jesus Christ stopped reaching out and sharing the truth of the gospel with their neighbors and friends and coworkers. And that has led to this incredible shrinking church. We've got to own this, guys. You say, "But I don't know how to talk to people about Jesus." We got to own this. Learn. Say, love, do, show. Serve. That's what these papers are. It's just a few hints about how every one of us can reach out to the people around us in practical and focused ways that just might touch their heart. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to own the mission and come down and at least take one of these papers and pray over it and consider doing something that you're not doing yet. You see, I'm not preaching just to hear myself talk. I'm preaching this because I believe this is essential to what God wants to do in this crisis we're in. I've told you this many times over the last year and a half, particularly as we came toward the election. I believe the only real solution for America's plight is a great awakening to the gospel and the true reality of Jesus Christ. This little light of mine, if it's ever going to shine, when? If not now, where? If not here, who? If not me and you? I own a slice of this mission. I own part of the responsibility for shining a light in America in this darkest of times. I own it. It's got my name on it. I was designed for it. I was called to it. And the last thing is this, I can be empowered for it. I can be empowered for the mission. I can be made salty again. Even if I've lost my flavor of Jesus, I can be made salty again by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we are called Pentecostal, by the way. We believe the reason the baptism of the Holy Spirit was given to the church and still is available to the church is so that we can be, not just do, not just say, not just go. We can be witnesses to the reality and the beauty and the truth of Jesus Christ in a dark and desperate situation. Acts 1:8. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and as far as the remotest part of the earth. I'm challenging you today to take responsibility. First of all, to seek the fullness of the Spirit in your life, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And secondly, to open your life up and ask God to operate the gifts of the Spirit through your life. We know what they are. Most of us do. Right? Tongues, interpretation, prophecy, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, healings. Right? Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. God wants these things operating through us so that we can impact people that are lost and broken, in chains of darkness and despair. People are afraid today. People are stressed to the max today. People are looking for answers. And I'm going to tell you, the young generation, all of us old folks can throw off on the young generation all we want to, but there's one thing about this new generation coming up. They want something real. Amen. They want something that's got bite. They want something that's got power to it. We have it. Or we have access to it. I just want you to bow your head for a moment. And I want you to ask yourself this. Do I know what my personal mission is in life? Besides taking care of my family, what's my personal mission? And then maybe ask yourself, what are my gifts and my talents and my passions and my interests? What might that have to do with my slice of the Great Commission? I believe that if you're a born-again Christian, God has put within your heart a desire to make a difference in your world. I just believe that. It's called love. It's just called love. I believe you want to make it. I believe everybody sitting here this morning wants to make a difference in our world. I believe that. So I don't think I'm overcoming resistance to that. But I want you to dare believe God can and will use you. I want you to dare believe that He really does have a slice with your name on it. That He didn't save you just to sit. He saved you to love and give and share and go and show His beauty. I've got these sheets down here. And basically, they just give you a strategy for reaching out to your neighbors or people you work with. help you focus your mission. Here's what I want to do, just as a symbolic act. If you want your light to shine and make a difference, I want you to get your phone out. Get your phone out. Yeah, this is one time you got permission. Get your phone out. I'm not going to ask you to call anybody or text anybody, even though this can be a tool. I'm trying to figure out how to get to my flashlight. Oh, God, help me. No, not mine. Go down. From the bar. There we go. Okay.
I want you to turn the lights off. Turn them completely off. All of them. All of them. And if you want to be a light in your world, I just want you to do this. Maybe you can do it easier than I can. Just want you to look around.
Jesus, come on, pray with me. Jesus, help my light shine. Help my light shine. Show me how to shine. Show me how to show you. Show me how to share you. Give me opportunities. Lord, I pray for divine appointments. I'm a chicken at heart. But you said you would give me power to be a witness. That means I can be a reasonable facsimile of Jesus enough that people will want to hear my explanation for my lifestyle. They will want to hear an explanation for my joy. They will want to hear an explanation for my peace in the middle of this mess we're living in. They will want to hear an explanation for my faith. Set me up. Set me up. Focus my heart and mind. Help me discover the way my gifts and talents and passions can be used to affect a slice of this world that I have access to. And Lord, I don't want this just to be a prayer moment. Lord, let this reality follow us out this door this morning. Break our heart for the confusion, the pain, the fear, the deception, the despair that our world is living in. Break our heart like your heart breaks. And give us, empower us by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father. I ask you, let gifts of the Spirit operate in each of our lives. Let the gifts of the Spirit operate in our lives. Help us to earnestly seek them like you commanded us to in 1 Corinthians 14. You commanded us to earnestly seek the best gifts. Lord, today we ask you, come on, do you want him to do this? Pray the prayer. Let me have gifts that I can use to be a light. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me hungry, God, and thirsty until you saturate me. And when somebody bumps me, Jesus oozes out. That's what I want for my life. That's what I want. That's what I want. All right, I know it's a children's song, but we got to do it. Sing it as a prayer. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine. One more time. This little light of mine. Is this a promise? I'm gonna let it shine. Come on. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Should turn the lights back on. We're gonna turn these off, and I want you to stand with me. You've just sung a promise that you're going to let your light shine, but some of you feel the need for the Holy Spirit to empower you. I'm not trying to make anything happen. I believe that God will see our heart and hear our prayer. But if you want increased ability, capacity, power, whatever you want to call it, to let your light shine and make a difference in your slice of the mission, I want you to just come stand down here. Come on right now. I'm not going to make this go on longer. I just think it's an important step for all of us. If that's your heart, I just want you to step forward. You may not get all the way up here. Just step into the aisle. Come on.
Trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Would you just lift your hands up to heaven as a sign of surrender, as well as a sign of reaching and asking God for more power and more of His presence to be manifest in our life. Father, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask You, empower us. We ask You, empower us. Give us opportunities today, not just this week, today. Give us eyes to see the opportunities You bring our way. Give us courage to speak. Give us courage to give. Give us courage to serve. Give us courage to love. Lord, give us boldness that only comes from Your Holy Spirit and power. We must make a difference. You said our light must shine, that our good deeds would bring glory to Your Son. Oh God, our community, our families, our schools, our workplace, our neighborhoods desperately need Your people to shine. We don't have to put on a show, Lord. We just have to be out loud and up front about our love for You. We just have to respond to the nudgings of Your Spirit as You bring opportunities our way. As we pray for those opportunities, then we go through our day looking for them, and then we seize them. Oh God, may we be part of the solution. May we own our slice of the mission that we were designed for, called to, and empowered for. I'm in, Lord. I want my days to make a difference. I don't want somebody that rubs shoulders with me ever again to have no clue the reason for the hope that's in me. Lord, I don't ever want to repeat that scenario in high school where nobody knew I was a believer. Lord, alert us to those people just off the edge of our radar that are watching us. They just need us to take that next step and say something, pray something, give something. Lord, we own it today, and we expect the fullness of Your Spirit
to empower us to be witnesses. Can you say amen to the prayer? Now before you move, especially those that step forward, would you please just take a piece of paper? And I commend you into the gracious guidance of the Holy Spirit as you go into your week this week. May He show you and empower you for those divine appointments and moments you can shine your light and be salt in the earth. Amen? God bless you. Find you a life group tonight. If you haven't attended, you can still attend. Yeah, and ladies, let Renee know if you're interested in going to the women's retreat.
If you responded to our message today, or if you would like prayer for a specific need, please get in contact with us using the link below. If you would like to worship through giving, you can visit our website, lakecityag.org, and click the Give button. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great week.